We're in a series called You Drive Me Crazy, and today is part three. And before we go into how do I deal with my anger, that's my topic today, how to deal with anger, I want to read the scripture. This scripture is very dear to my heart because this scripture changed my life when it comes to anger, okay? So I'm going to read this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. How many of you know you can bring pain and sorrow to God's Holy Spirit? God's Holy Spirit is gentle and he could get offended. I don't know if he gets offended, but you could bring sorrow into him by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of your redemption. So Holy Spirit is a witness, is a stamp on your spirit saying that you will be saved. How cool is that? Okay? So why would you offend or bring sorrow or bring pain to the one who is guarantor for your salvation? Amen. Did you know no other religion has a guarantee that you will spend eternity with God? But Christianity, God offers us a guarantee. That's why we never think about hell being Christians. When was the last time you thought of hell being a Christian? I don't think about it, right? And so because I have the Holy Spirit living in me, you have Holy Spirit living in you, guaranteeing you. So whenever the thought comes, I don't think you're saved, you're going to hell, Holy Spirit says no. And you're like, no, I'm not going to hell. I'm saved, but you committed a sin, but I'm saved by the blood, not based on my works. But you're not perfect. Holy Spirit says what inside of you? But Jesus is, right? But Jesus is, and it's not your righteousness that gets you to heaven. Tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and tell him it's not your righteousness that will get you to heaven. It's somebody else's. Somebody else already paid the price, okay? We live an exchanged life, okay? We live for Jesus. Jesus died for us, okay? So he's a guarantor that you will be saved on the day of redemption, meaning when you take your last breath, he guarantees that you will be saved. In Muslim religion, they said Allah is merciful, but Allah can choose whoever he allows in heaven and who he doesn't. We don't have 50-50. We have 100%. Listen, I don't know, maybe you're struggling with, maybe God didn't forgive me or whatever. It's not 50-50. If you accept that Jesus is Lord of your life, it's 100%. That's why I can be a sinner, trying to live better, of course, and not feel this condemnation or guilt in my life. Because I really believe that the Holy Spirit that lives in me, he guarantees it. I don't have no doubt. And you shouldn't either. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't either. Maybe you're a beginner Christian. You're still one foot kind of in the world, one foot in the church. Well, as God is working on you, even you have a guarantee. Maybe you just got saved last Sunday. You have a guarantee. Maybe you messed up and you said, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save me. Like an hour ago, you have a guarantee. Amen. On the day of redemption. Now to the anger scripture. Let's go next verse. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, and all, and as well as all types of evil behavior. Now, look at the first two. Get rid. Well, three words. Get rid of all. Four words. Bitterness, five words. Okay, you got me there. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of. Huh. How do you deal with anger? Get rid of. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Next verse, 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Who do you need to forgive today? Who do you walk around at your work and you're like, who do you need to, forgive that person? Who are you walking in the church looking like, ignoring them? You need to forgive that person. God commands you and me to forgive. You know why you're walking on eggshells? Because you haven't forgiven yet. You know why you're ignoring somebody? Because you haven't forgiven yet. Forgive. Forgive one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That scripture changed my life when it comes to anger. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture and then I'm going to tell you a story. Genesis 4:6. Now, look at me. Don't read it. 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 Look at me right here. Focus. Look into my eyes. The first words that God said after he kicked out Adam and Eve out of Eden. Remember, Adam and Eve messed up. They lived in this paradise place, beautiful. And God kicked them out into a harsh environment. Because that's what life is without God. It's harsh. Okay? God says, don't want me? Okay, here's what you get without me. Harsh. This is where I am, Garden of Eden. This is where I'm not. Harsh environment. Okay? And so, oh, thank you for taking that verse off. I appreciate it. But the first words that God ever says to people that's recorded in Genesis, since he kicked people out of Eden, and this is probably 40 years, maybe 50 years after that, this is what he says. Let's put it on. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? I didn't even, what's the word dejected means? Sad, okay. I'll have to Google it for second service. I'm practicing on you guys this message. But the first words God said, and this is the phrase, why are you so angry? So the first people that were born on this earth, Cain and Abel, Cain got angry. Cain got angry. Now, I told you I was going to tell you a story. I didn't think I was an angry person until I got married. And then when I got married, I realized how much anger I have inside of me. After years of fighting with my new bride, and we had, like I said, bad marriage for about 5 years, and then indifferent for 5 more, and then we had a great one for 6 years. Amen. So we're growing. I'm just telling you. I'm not who I was before. Some of you are like, Pastor, you tell us these stories. Is that who you are? You're a monster. No, that's who I was. I was maybe that, but... And somebody said, you don't know what demons you have until you get married. I never thought I was an angry person. Really, I've never punched a wall. I've never made a hole in the wall when I was a teenager. I slammed a few doors, but who doesn't? Come on, don't judge me. but I didn't think I was an angry person till I got married. And you know this, married people. You know this, that no one can get you so angry like your spouse. Thank you. I will preach it. No one can get you so angry like that man or that woman that you gave me, God. And so we were in a bad place. And what would happen is I acted nice when I was at work. I was a nice guy when I was at work. I had people who drive me crazy at work, but I kept it in. And as soon as I walked through that steps from my garage to my laundry room and to my kitchen, 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and I would blow up. Almost every single day. Some of you are like, whoa. You have your blow-up moments, and you know when they are. Now, it wouldn't happen almost on a regular basis, but it would happen a couple of times a week. It would happen a couple of times a week, and they became more frequent. And they became more stronger. How many of you know anger is progressive? How many of you know anger is not just you got angry and then that's how it stays? No, it gets bigger. And then it goes into rage, okay? And then it goes into wrath. It gets bigger and bigger to the point, and I can't find a right word for it, where you almost feel like you came out of yourself. It almost feels like when you were angry, who was that person? It almost feels like you were on autopilot. If you're a special and A-type personality, you are vocal and angry, and you know what I'm talking about. If you're a very controlling person, you know what I'm talking about, because high control means high anger. Quiet in this church. People are hiding behind other people. I see you. And so... guess what? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a youth pastor at a church. And on the way to that church, that's why we drive separate cars now, but on the way to the church, how many of you have ever fought with your spouse on the way to church? Don't raise your hand. Thank you. But thank you for your honesty. We all have, right? Usually one of you is in the car honking. Come on. And by the time you get to church, you drive around this block a couple of times because you're like, no, we can't go this way. Well, we were youth pastors, so we would fight all the way. We were youth pastors in Brandon, so we had to drive to Brandon from Sioux Falls. And so on the way to Brandon, 7 miles or 10 miles, oh my, we would get into arguments. And then we're sitting in front of the building, and the youth are coming in, and everybody's smiling and waving, hey, Pastor Alex. And I'm in rage. And what do? You run away. You want to run away. You want to drive by the church and say, let's go to Danny's. Let's go to Frying Pan, right? You want to do that. But you are a youth pastor. What do you do when 80 to 100 kids are counting on you? Sorry. Sorry too. Lord, forgive us. Let's go be happy for youth. Oh, I remember those days. And I hated myself for it. And I hated it because it was a constant thing. And after a while, I said, God, help me. And I started praying. And I prayed for months. And I said, God, help me get this anger out of me. And he wouldn't. And I prayed more. I'm from a Pentecostal background. So we like believe everything by faith. You know, we like claim it and we blab it and grab it type. You know, so that's it. I declare God removed my anger from this moment on. I come home, grenade explodes. And I'm like, God, are you even real? Why won't you help me? I mean, you're helping me with my job. You're helping me with my home. You're helping me with my car. But when it comes to my anger, God, what is going on? Are you like stuck on anger? Because John Piper says anger is bigger than lust even. Yeah. Like lust happens once in a while in marriage, you know, and it's a big thing. But anger is a constant. You have somebody in your life who's constantly angry. You call him a grizzly bear. You call him a gorilla. What else names you call him? That's about it. A wolf or whatever. You know, you make nicknames for these people. My wife had a nickname for me. I'm not telling you what it is. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. And God, one day, as I was reading the Bible, he spoke to me through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31. Basically, verse 31. Let's put verse 31 again. You get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. When I read that, he said, look at it again and again and again. And I started meditating on that. And what I realized, God is saying to me that I have to get rid of anger. I was praying for him to remove my anger. And he's saying to me, get rid of my anger. I got so mad at God. Do you ever get mad at God? I do a lot. When things don't go my way, I get mad at God. I apologize right away, but I still get mad. And I said, if I need to do it, what do I need you for? Have you ever said that to God? Come on. That's what a lot of people say. Why do I need God? I can do finances all by myself. I can do marriage by myself. I can find a job by myself. I can go to the hospital and get my tooth fixed by myself. Why do I need God? Right? That's a stupid thing, because all those things are from God and is God, because God lives through everything. If God was not there, this world could not exist. So God is. Okay? But I, you know, in my logical, small human mind, I said, what do I need you for? If I'm going to get rid of it, he says, well, good luck trying. You know, God has a sense of humor. Good luck trying. Do it on your own. I've tried before and it didn't work. How many of you said, I've tried getting rid of this addiction. I've tried getting rid of this, whatever it is, this habit, this bad behavior. I've tried. And God said, it's not you doing it by yourself. You're gonna do it in partnership with me. One big thing that I had to realize about Christianity, and that's where I think my Pentecostal background messed me up. In this Pentecostal background, they said that God is gonna do everything for you. All you have to believe, and if you had big faith, God is gonna do it. But what God taught me through even simple things like anger, which is not simple, it was destroying my life. God said that, no, he's not going to do it for you. He's going to do it with you. Tell your neighbor, God is going to do it with you. He's not going to do it for you. God is not going to give you money, $50,000 a year. God is going to do it with you. God loves to partner with us. You don't want to do your homework for your child. You want to maybe help do your homework with your child. Because if you do homework for your child, what happens to your child? They don't learn. If God were to remove anger for you, you won't learn. And tomorrow, when the emotions come back, right? It's like a man saying, God, I have lust problem. Remove my lust issue. God says, are you sure? How are you going to have kids when you get married? How are you gonna? I gave you that gift, dude. Don't ask me to remove it. Ask me to help you use it right. That didn't sound right, but just let's roll with it. Use it right. Anger, ability to have anger, the engine that creates anger inside of your soul is given for a reason. Because even God has that engine and God gets angry. God even gets wrathful. Did you know that? But you know, God is not living in wrath right now because Jesus pacified all God's wrath on a cross. The wrath of God is being poured out in Romans chapter 1 on all ungodliness, Bible says. But guess what? Jesus paid the price. So God is not mad at you. He used to be angry. That's why the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. Because God of the New Testament, Jesus paid the price. So God is sitting there, okay. Price is paid. What do I have to be angry about? That would be a sin to be angry when there's nothing to be angry about. So God is not angry. Jesus said, I have not come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. Amen. And so God said, I'm going to help you get rid of your anger. He says, I want to partner up. I want you to partner up with the Holy Spirit. I want you to partner up with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will work with you to help you get rid of your anger. Did you know that anger is an addiction? Anger is an addiction, and I'll talk about it in a second. But we're in a series, You Drive Me Crazy, right? And that people who drive us crazy are usually the closest to us. These people, we are responsible to love them the most, and we end up pouring out the most of our anger on them. Because I would go to work and I would hold my anger at work. I'd go to church, hold my anger in church. We're good actors in church. I was a great actor in church. Some of you are acting today in church. But outside in my home, that's where everything blew up. That's where everything was falling apart. Remember this, I said last week, as long as you get angry, you don't have control over yourself. When you get angry, you give your control to somebody else. And you always lose when you lose your temper. Okay? And in an argument, whoever yells, loses. Whoever yells, loses. So, is anger wrong? No, anger is not wrong necessarily. For example, you live in a neighborhood and a pizza man, and you have kids who play outside, and a pizza man is going 45 miles per hour through your neighborhood while your kids are playing outside. Anger is a proper response. You might call the pizza and say, hey, your guy driving the Civic is going about 45 miles. The kids are playing. He needs to stop. It's a proper response. Anger is a proper response when we hear of Christian persecution that's happening in Iraq, Syria, where heads of Christians are being decapitated for their faith. You should get angry. That's normal. You should get angry. Like this week, I heard that the captain, Muslim captain, was transporting Syrian refugees. And he found out that about six of them were Christian. And he threw them over the board and they drowned. Well, he's being prosecuted right now in European court for doing it. That makes me angry. How could you do that? So anger is an appropriate response for some things. But really, can I tell you something about anger? Anger is a response to something we love. Anger really is a response to something we love. Think about it. We love our kids. So when some pizza dude is driving 45 miles per hour on our street, why do we get angry? Is it because we don't care about those kids? If you didn't care, you'd just be like... But being a common sense, good person, even if it's not your kids, you love humanity, so you love people. You love your neighbor as yourself, Bible says. And you see somebody driving, it should get you mad. Why? Because you love. Anger is a response to love. However, anger can also be a twisted response to love. I call it a twisted love. Okay? So your spouse can't read your mind and you got angry. Notice you don't care about them. You love your selfish. How dare she not get me like this? Right? It's a twisted response. Your spouse spends money differently than you do. Come on, somebody. And you love the money so much. See, a lot of people say, I don't love money. But boy, if somebody doesn't spend like you want them to spend, what do? And you're like, well, it wasn't about the money. It was about respect. No, it was about money. It's always about money, honey. People get funny when it comes to money. Your child makes a child decision. And you're like, how dare you make a decision like a child? Well, they are a child. I took my son to work with me this summer. And he was on a raking duty. He was the raking duty, you know, raking the twigs and leaves. And I showed him proper way to rake. And I imagine that you just need to show it once. Right? And that's it. So you, son, this, you take a rake, you go backwards, and you just go like this. Then you turn around, you go, you know, there's a structure to it. A control freak, you know, being delivered in a process. Next thing I see, he's making these little piles everywhere. I'm like, son, that's not how I write, Junior. Oh, man, I'm just boiling inside. How many times do I have to show you how to rake? I think I scarred him for life with the raking stuff. And Holy Spirit convicted me and said, hey, you're going to lose a relationship. Your son will never want to work with you because of raking. I'm like, uh-oh. Give me another chance, Jesus. Sorry, son. Right? Your child is in sports, and maybe they're not very sporty, but you are, you want them to be. And so you're like, and you yell, you spit, you're getting suspended from coaching, being on the bench of a coaching game, and you're like, man, this is good. This is good. Anger is connected to love. What do you love more? Do you love your child more than you love your idea for your child? How you love your status more than you love your spouse? Do you love how people see you with your spouse? And that's what gets you angry when they don't act like you want them to act. in your head? Do you want your spouse to look a certain way? And if they don't, it drives you mad? Twisted love. Untwist that. Make it right. Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we deal with anger? Number one, if you're writing this down, calculate the cost of anger. That's point number one. How do you deal with your anger? Calculate the cost of anger. The cost of anger is more than you want to pay. Calculate the cost of anger. Anger hurts relationships and people we love the most. You can go whole day at work being nice to your coworkers, only to lose it at home with those closest to you. Calculate the cost of anger. I made a decision. I will not lose a relationship with my children over school grades. Right? Because we have an idea, this is the kind of grades they should have. They're smart kids. How many of you think your kids are smart? Hopefully all of you. Even if they're not, A plus, you think they're smart and they're capable. Okay? Even if they're not A plus. I didn't say they're not smart. And so I just lately been saying, son, there's two types of jobs out there in the world. There's like mind jobs, where you work in an office in a corporate world, or there's like physical work, like your dad. You can choose. I'll love you the same. You can be a garbage man, or you can be an executive. I don't care. You choose. Now, your grades will determine where you kind of end up, right? You'll be either a sewer pump guy. You know the sewer pump people? If you have your own septic tank, if you live in an acreage, you know what I'm talking about. That's probably the stinkiest job in the world. Carry that stinky hose, you put it in, you suck it out, and then you put it in your back. You can do that. I'll still love you. Probably make good living too. But I'm not going to lose a relationship with my children because I'm getting angry, because I want them to do something maybe God never even called them to do. I'm not going to lose my marriage because I'm picking on my spouse. You should look like this. You don't look like you did when we got married. No, nobody looks like they did when they got married. That's like the best you'll be, you know. And from there, it's like, you know what it means. You know where it goes, south. Right? And so I've talked as a pastor, I've talked and sat there with people who were crying and saying, man, I've had a good woman, I had a great man, and I lost them because I was picky, because I was just always getting angry. My expectations for my spouse was like I saw in a movie or in a soap operas or in another man. I wanted my man to be like that man. Well, he's not like that man. You got to accept. This is point number two. Are you ready? Rethink your expectations of the person who drives you crazy. Rethink your expectations of a person who drives you crazy. What do I mean by that? The reason they drive us crazy is because we expect them to be who they're not. Husband, you expect her to be like that woman you saw where you shouldn't have been looking. And now you're like, I want that. That's not real. That's not real over there. That's like brushed off. That's like photoshopped. That's like stretched and shrinked in places. That's what it is. Okay? And a lot of us, all of us have these beautiful spouses God has given us as a gift. And we neglect it because they're not, and I did that. Can I be honest? And I did it for many years. Like my wife, I married her like this, and now she's not like that. and the truth is, I had to change my expectations. Because I wasn't like I married her. You know, I had like 6 packs when I married her. And I was like 165 pounds. And I was a tree climber, so I was buff. I look at myself at pictures in our honeymoon. I look good. Now I don't post those pictures anymore. It's going south. Right? Although my goal is by 40, I got just, what, year and something to hit the gym and get it right, get it back up. Okay, but rethink your expectations. Listen, this is big. Of the people who drive you crazy, who make you angry. I used to work with this guy, and I'm going to change his name, and I'm going to call him Tom, if that's okay. I used to work with Tom, and Tom, when he came to work with me, he was an alcoholic. And Tom struggled for 2 to 3 years while he worked with me with alcoholism. Tom was every excuse in the book. That's why when you come to me with excuses, I could see it a mile away. Okay? I know all the excuses the church people make, and I know all the excuses. Because he made every excuse in a book. He wouldn't show up to work. I was walking to work, and I got arrested. The police officer recognized me 3 times. My grandma died. My other grandma died. My grandpa died. My other grandpa died. My wife, ex-wife, every single excuse. This guy drove me crazy. But really what was happening, he gets drunk, and then next morning, hangover you can't, or he gets high, and you know you have no motivation to go to work when you're high. Because you already have all the, you pacify all those desires. So you're just like, I'm good. No, you're not. You're broke, but I feel good, so it must be good, right? You know how it is. You know how that makes you feel. I think weed, some of you are like, God gave weed. He planted it. Maybe Satan planted it. I don't know. Or corrupted it. But anyway, what I've noticed in the business world, people who smoke weed have a hard time coming to work. That's just my observation. Go whatever you want to do with it. But the point is, this guy made every single excuse, and he was the nicest guy in the world. And I'm loyal, so I wouldn't fire him. But boy, he drove me crazy. He drove me to bananas. And then we got texting, remember? And then he would argue with his girlfriend or his wife texting. I'm like, and this drove me crazy about Tom, not his real name. When I work, I could talk and work. When Tom talked, he didn't work. And when Tom worked, well, he rarely worked because he talked. Tom had a gift of talking, okay? And so I was working with him and helping him out and telling him about Jesus. And Tom would make every excuse to talk but not work. And eventually, my business changed. I started working here more. So Tom went to work somewhere else. And Tom found a job in a store where he talks. And talks and talks. And he's number one in their store in customer service. You see, Tom had a different calling. Some people are called to sales or marketing. Some people are called in accounting and in management. Some people are called to physical work. Tom was not called to do physical work. He was called to use his mouth to be his income. I wish I knew this before. I wish I knew this before, that some people have different gifts, but I was so loyal, you know. I'm loyal to the fault, loyal. But I had to change my expectation. And now I look at Tom, I'm like, that's the nicest guy because he talks so good. I mean, he talks so good. You're angry at him, but when he's talking, you can't be angry at him anymore. And like I said, now he's winning all kinds of awards, working in a store, doing customer service and sales, talking to people. Not a lot of physical work, a lot of talking. Maybe the reason that person is driving you crazy is because your personality types are different. You're a control freak and you're like, get it done. And the other person is like, let's talk about it. Let's discuss this, right? And so rethink your expectation of that person. Got 4 minutes and I got 2 more points. I expected Tom to be who he's not. Maybe you're expecting your child to be who that child is not. And you're pulling him to all the soccer games. and they can't kick a ball straight. Maybe you expect something from your wife, which she's not. Like I told you last week, expected her to be administrational and bookkeeper and all those things. She's creative and free spirit, and she gets stuff done at night. Right? So what are you expecting of the person? Think about the person who's driving you crazy and refocus your expectations. Change your expectations. And the thing is, accept them for who they are, because only God can change them. And if God is not changing them, then that's probably who they're going to be, with all their weaknesses and all their strength and all their funny noises and all their funny smells. That's who they're going to be. Okay? Accept them for who they are. And if something is wrong, pray that God would change them. You are not God. I am not God. I had to realize that. And God keeps reminding me, you're not God. And sometimes when He doesn't do what I want Him to do, guess what? I get mad. He's like, you're not God. You're not God. I am God. Who's God? Who is God, huh? God is God, not me, not you. Amen. So number three, put away. Now this is back to my story. How do you put away anger? Anger is like any addiction. Okay, let me just read something to you that I wrote. Let me see. Anger is an addiction like lust or any other addiction. Addiction in its core is this: I'm not getting what I want or deserve, and I'm willing to sin to get it. This is what addiction is. I'm not getting what I want or what I deserve at this moment. You don't treat me how I want you to treat me. You don't give me the respect I deserve. I'm going to sin so I can get what I deserve through sinning. That's deep. Write this down. I don't know how it came up, but I'm not getting what I want or deserve, and I'm willing to sin to get it. Lust, the same thing. I'm not getting what I want. Anger, I'm not getting what I want. I'm willing to sin to get it. I don't feel so good. I'm not getting what I want, so I'm willing to get myself drunk to where I can't walk so I can get what I want, but it's sinning. Help me out, somebody. Amen? Amen. So anger is like an addiction. An addiction will always accelerate. Right? Addiction doesn't stay the same. You need more weed. You need more heroin. You need more cocaine. You need more cigarettes to keep yourself pacified or happy for a moment. And that's what addictions do. They offer us through sinful way to fulfill our pleasures. Immediate pleasures. But in the morning, come on, somebody. But 3 months later, you lost your family, you lost all your jobs, you're in jail, your teeth are rotten out, your face is all messed up, you had drug dealers following you. Addiction promises to fulfill, but it fulfills it through sin. And God says, no, I will fulfill all your desires, and they're not going to be so quick, but it's going to be through the right channels. I'm going to bless you. It's not going to be like this, because that's going to destroy you. So I'm going to give you blessing over time. And when I bless you, it will come like a flood eventually. And David says, and I've said it in my life, my cup overflows. Have you ever said that in your life? Yeah. Not because you got high, but because because your cup overflows too when you get high, right? At the moment, you're like, it overflows. It feels good. But boy, in the morning, right? Or when you're, come on, somebody. But God says, I'll make your cup overflow and it'll bring no shakes with it. I'm preaching good. I'm preaching good today. Praise the Lord. So God told me, how do I get rid of my anger? He said, decide to make a pact. Decide to make a pact with the Holy Spirit. So I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Remind me every single time I want to get angry. Help me find a place where do I get angry? And how I know this, because it was on the steps to my house, from my garage to my laundry room. That's where it started boiling up. I said, God help me. Holy Spirit, every time I walk on these steps, remind me. I even printed a sheet. Holy Spirit, what was the sheet said? Do you remember? I forgot what it said now. I can't lie to you. But something like, so it's not obvious, but it's still, I remember. Every time I would walk on those steps, I would say, Holy Spirit, okay, now it's time for us to work. Notice it wasn't me doing it by my own power. It was the power of God working with me. And I would come home and it's boiling up. It's boiling up. It's boiling up. I'm like, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. And I did it one day. And I did it 2 days. And I did it a week. And I did it a month. And I did it a year. And now, maybe once or twice a year, I have a blowout. And I repent and I again confess, Holy Spirit, man, that's sin in me. Sin shall have no dominion over me. This is not under the law. Sin, you have no power. I just have to be conscious. I have to, and in that verse, let's put it on 31, get rid of. For about 7, maybe 10 years. Now, it doesn't completely go away. You still have to protect your peace. That's point number 4, protect your peace. Still have to protect your peace because the devil will always want to come back and get you angry. But guess what? Can God give you victory over anger? Did He give me victory? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. And the episodes became farther and farther and farther apart. Yesterday we were talking with my wife and I said, honey, I haven't made you cry for years now. Didn't we say that? How long? Used to be like every time I get angry, she would cry. I haven't made you cry for years. That's what God can do. If you would work with Him. That's what God can do. Why would He do that for you? Because He loves you. He knows that there is sin in you. But He says, I can help you. If you allow my Holy Spirit that's here on earth. Jesus said, I will send you a comforter. And He will come and live in you and help you. And you can have life to the fullest. Anger does not give you life to the fullest, but Holy Spirit will give you life to the fullest. John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. This is Jesus. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Take that verse. Say, the peace is mine. It's a gift. It's mine. You can't take it from me. Nobody can take it from me. The peace of God is mine. Holy Spirit is mine. You can't take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you're working in this place. Thank you, God, that you're changing us.